Hi folks, this is Tony for A Minute to Midnight. Please make sure that you're subscribed to us at aminutetomidnight.com. So this video is going to be covering some things which I feel I will need to just put a trailer on YouTube due to the likelihood of censorship. And so the full video you'll find on our website aminutetomidnight.com. Also on Rumble and BitChute and Apple Podcasts, and you'll just have a trailer on YouTube with links to click to go to the main videos simply because of the content. I don't trust that they'll stay up on YouTube. Please also remember A Minute to Midnight's run 100% by donations, and much appreciated when people do donate to help us keep it running. And it's a little scary when things slow to a trickle as they have lately, so if anyone's able to donate, it's always much appreciated. So, just to begin, I'm sure pretty well most of you that are hearing me today will be aware of the globalist New World Order plans and the evil associated with it. I think most of you know that it's a multi-pronged agenda, you know, with various ways that they're trying to get us to their Great Reset, New World Order, beast system. Total totalitarian control. And it is coming from us in many different directions. Some of them I want to just look at in the extended version of this video today, just to, you know, get people to really think about it. Now, first, before I even get to that, I want to just let people know that the only way that we're going to get through this as individuals is, firstly, we've got to put our faith in the Lord Jesus and seek him for what to do as individually. And secondly, I think it's time to basically do what you can to get outside of the system and to resist the totalitarian type controls, which we've seen roll out a couple of years ago and will be rolled out again. So you need to think about how you're going to approach all of this in the future. And think about your financial transactions. Are you using cash? Do you have cash? Or are you dependent on the banking system and all electronics? Because in the future, it is going to be more than just bank machines with central bank digital currencies and things coming along in the not too distant future. They are trying to push us all into a completely digital economy. But if everyone... Well, if enough people resisted, they wouldn't be able to do that. If enough of us actually did things differently and outside of the system, they wouldn't be able to foist it on everyone. Now, having said that, the book of Revelation talks about, in chapter 13, a system coming into play with the mark of the beast. That's going to happen regardless. If it's in Scripture, we can't stop it. What we don't know is the time frame to implement that full system. In the meantime, there could be some time in advance of that. And even when it does come to that time, we have to be able to exist outside of that system unless we are personally killed for our faith and for standing against it. But it's still wise to have a strategy, I believe, in which to approach what is being set up now. Start doing it now. It's like... If any of you have watched my cabin videos, I like to try and get people to think outside the square by making some videos from my cabin. And if you haven't seen them, you know, watch them, and I'd like to do more of them. So the health regulations, the financial system, the climate change agenda, they are not isolated. They are all working hand in glove to bring in the system that is coming. And so I'm going to just stop this on YouTube at this point. Please go to the full length versions on the other platforms, either aminutetomidnight.com or Rumble or BitChute or Apple Podcasts. Okay, so now down to the nitty gritty. There are several big players on the world stage, which I'm sure you're aware of, the face of this tyranny. Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum being a real classic one, a Bond-type villain, you know, that we can all look at and despise. as a pusher of terrible policies all over the world. Another one of those people that some people seem to like and think he's a wonderful philanthropist, but those of us that follow this closely know is basically just another tool of the global elite, and that is Bill Gates. I think we've all gotten sick of hearing about COVID-19. We're sick of hearing about vaccines, but the fact of the matter is that the global excess deaths are still happening. People are dying having taken the vaccine. People are having injuries having taken the vaccines, and they are wanting to roll out a new one. And a huge number of people are wanting to take this new vaccine in spite of the fact that the old ones didn't work and that there are excess deaths. So people are brainwashed so much to accept this whole vaccine regime that they're going to keep jumping on that bandwagon and do it. Those of us that know better won't, of course. But, you know, the fact of the matter is there are going to be more, not just vaccines, but pandemics, and they're telling us that this is coming. And one of the pushes of this, or the face of it, is Bill Gates. Now, Bill Gates serves as the primary financial contributor to the World Health Organization, the WHO. Affording him significant influence over this organization, Gates personally played a role in appointing Director General Ted Ross, who had a history as a communist activist in Ethiopia, as director of the WHO. Nevertheless, under the WHO's pandemic treaty, they gain extensive authority over all nations wherever they declare a pandemic. Now, this comes from exposednews.com. The four health organizations that took a lead in the global pandemic response, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Gavi, the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations, and the Wellcome Trust, are actually all founded and or funded by Gates, despite all four claiming to be independent organizations. Event 201 in October 2019 was one example where Gates coordinated a set of four mock scenarios of a coronavirus pandemic simulation in a tabletop exercise organized by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the World Economic Forum, and the Johns Hopkins University. This rehearsal involved top-level participants who were invited from across the world from both private and public sectors. They were presented with a situation resembling the one that subsequently occurred in reality a couple of months later, and they discussed the necessary actions to be taken. With the capability that the WHO have to assume a similar role to that of a global governing body whenever they see fit, and by recognizing that Bill Gates essentially wields control over the WHO, it implies that pandemics effectively place Gates in a position akin to a global dictator. And the Gates Foundation has committed $200 million to digital ID and other public infrastructure. And the WHO wants to be centralized ruler of all. That's the World Health Organization. For example, they want to put into law the requirements that nations must censor their citizens so that only public health messages aligned with the WHO's recommendations can be shared. Already, YouTube has announced they will henceforth censor all health information that does not conform to the WHO's narrative. But that censorship is nothing compared to what's to come, which is exactly why I'm not posting this full-length video on YouTube. The amendments to the international health regulations also specify that the WHO will dictate which drugs countries must use and which they cannot in the event of a pandemic, and possibly outside of pandemics as well. It's important to realize that many different aspects of the grand plan are being put into motion by a variety of sectors and globalist organizations at the same time, and while they may appear independent of each other, they're all leading us in the same direction toward a unified goal, namely the enslavement of mankind and the centralization of control over the world's population. And we have the development of a new financial apparatus involving the rollout of central bank digital currencies, for example. And the pandemic treaty is a completely new document, which each draft has been different than the one before. In the current draft, the Director General of the WHO doesn't even need to declare a pandemic. The pandemic treaty will be in effect all the time. The treaty also demands the fast tracking of vaccines, along with liability waivers for vaccine manufacturers. The EU, the US, and CPI have already proposed a plan to develop vaccines in 100 days and manufacture enough for everyone in the country in another 30 days. Both the treaty and the International Health IHR amendments require nations to perform extensive biosurveillance year-round and perform genomic sequencing on all pathogens collected. Well, if we're testing people, livestock, wild animals, farms and factories all the time, we'll always be able to find pathogens with pandemic potential. So this will give rise to a never-ending series of pandemic and potential pandemic declarations. And any and all of this, these declarations could then result in lockdowns and new vaccine requirements. And importantly, these documents will supersede all domestic laws implemented, if implemented, and that includes the US Constitution. So that comes from the burning platform, that last part. Science for everyone. Disease X will be highly lethal, like Ebola, transmitted with efficiency of SARS-CoV-2, expert says. This is from newsabplive.com. How the heck do they know what's coming? I mean, literally, we had the COVID pandemic. Before that, there were no serious pandemics for donkey's years. The last really huge one being the 1918 bird flu. And yet they're telling us to expect a new deadly pandemic soon, okay? So disease X is a term used by the World Health Organization to indicate the disease that will be responsible for the next serious international epidemic. In other words, disease X is the next unknown disease of epidemic potential. A pathogen called pathogen X will cause disease X. The disease is expected to be a zoonosis, which means it can be transmitted from animals to humans. The pathogen is likely to be an RNA virus and one that emerges from a region where the current combination of risk factors highly promotes the risk for sustained transmission. So how do they know this stuff, folks? This is crazy that they're predicting and organizing for a new pandemic, you know, that seems imminent. This is crazy. But is it? Catastrophic contagion was an event conducted on October the 23rd, 2022 in Belgium by the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, the World Health Organization, and, you guessed it, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Basically the same players that did event 201, with the exception that there's no mention of the World Health, of the World Economic Forum this time, but I'm sure that they would have been involved. It gathered Bill Gates, co-chair of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, as well as 10 current and former health ministers and senior public officials from Senegal, Rwanda, Nigeria, Angola, Liberia, Singapore, India, Germany, according to their website. They all took part in the simulated WHO Emergency Health Advisory Board meetings set in 2025 to address a supposedly fictional infectious disease called severe epidemic enterovirus respiratory syndrome 2025, which becomes a pandemic in the simulation, this is, with a higher fatality rate than COVID-19 and disproportionately affects children and young people. So they're setting us up, the practice for this, and that basically, you can find that at catastrophiccontagion.centerforhealthsecurity.org. That's where the simulation is. There's a video and everything. So basically they're setting us up with a pandemic treaty and these simulations to expect another, you know, global pandemic, which they will then need to implement vaccines and so forth, and all the, you know, usual suspects will be involved. If you were to examine the entire spectrum of global policies and programs from the US to Europe to Asia, including climate controls and carbon credits, central bank digital currencies, cashless societies, vaccine passports, biometrics, agricultural controls, the Great Reset and the Fourth Industrial Revolution, AI monitoring of transactions, etc., you will come to the same conclusion, says Brandon Smith at altmarket.com, that he has almost everything they do revolves around locking down and micromanaging trade and access to resources. Not just international trade and the import-export of resources, but all trade, including the average person's grocery purchases and private barter. If they get their way, you won't even be allowed to grow a garden in your backyard. Think I'm exaggerating, says Brandon Smith. Just look at what happened during the attempted COVID lockdowns. There were leftist state governments trying to deny people access to jobs and food without vaccination status, and at least one, Michigan, tried to stop people from buying garden seeds. In many places, including Hawaii, they tried to arrest people for simply being outside in parks and beaches. Keep in mind it's nearly impossible to contract or transmit a virus in the outdoors where open air and sunlight actively kill diseases, yet the science was completely ignored in order to control people's behavioural patterns, social interactions and economic participation. Brandon Smith again says he's long argued that one of the primary purposes of the COVID lockdowns was to acclimate the public to the idea of rationing, the government takeover of production and consumption as a means to bottleneck trade. Rationing erases any last vestiges of the free market and turns the buying of necessities into privilege instead of a right. It was also an attempt to demonize the concept of prepping as a form of hoarding. In other words, if you planned ahead and bought food and medical supplies years in advance, you were a selfish person withholding valuable goods from others in dire need. And Brandon says, I think the chaotic flurry of activity during 2020 and 2021 had a lot of people confused. Many have forgotten how incredibly close we came to full authoritarianism, including total economic tyranny. The purpose of economic controls is obvious. If you control people's access to supplies and income, then they are far less likely to rebel against you when you turn the screws and take their freedoms. This has been the strategy of every communist socialist regime around the world since the 20th century and was a mainstay of feudal empires in the Middle Ages. The process of trade controls is at the core of the agenda of our modern day oligarchy. So that's from altmarket.com. And by the way, folks, no one's ever been brought to account for flying a cruise missile into the Pentagon and using CGI apparitions to demolish a couple of buildings and then go chasing for ghosts in caves in Afghanistan. And no one has been held accountable for the COVID-19 pandemic at this point. The release of a genetically modified pathogen and then vaccines roll out that are obviously killing people. So don't hold your breath if you're looking to think that answers are going to come and people are going to be arrested and everything's going to be hunky-dory and fixed up and we'll all live happily ever after. That isn't going to happen. I don't believe that's going to happen. What we are going to need to do is to think outside the square and look for communities with like-minded people, try and find those people that are on a similar wavelength and build community and look for alternative systems yourself to try and exist as far as possible outside of the controlled system that they are putting into place. Won't be easy, but the more we put our brains together and look at options now, the better I think it is. And personally, I do believe gold and silver and precious metals will play a role in the future and bartering and so forth. Not that it's going to be an easy road. But anyway, I digress. A huge area of control that they're looking to bring in for this One World Beast system is the Sustainable Development Goals in UN 2030. Michael Snyder at the end of The American Dream wrote, while barely anyone was watching, leaders at the UN made a 7-year agreement to implement a single global agenda. Have you heard about the agreement that the global leaders adopted at the United Nations during the 2023 SDG summit that was held, this was in late September? On Monday and Tuesday, officials from all over the world gathered in New York City to commit their nations to fully implement the 2030 Agenda and the Sustainable Development Goals over the next 7 years. Just about every area of human activity is covered by the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, and it would take extreme measures over the next 7 years in order to achieve all of them by the deadline. But that was what the 2023 SDG Summit was all about. Leaders from all over the planet got together and pledged to do whatever is necessary to meet those goals on time, and they are calling it a new phase of accelerated progress. This comes directly from the UN official webpage about the summit. The 2023 SDG Summit took place on the 18th and 19th of September 2023 in New York. It marked the beginning of a new phase of accelerated progress towards the sustainable and development goals, with high-level political guidance on transformative and accelerated actions leading up to 2030. Governed by the President of the General Assembly, the summit marked the halfway point to the deadline set for achieving the 2030 Agenda and the Sustainable Development Goals. It was the centrepiece of the high-level week of the General Assembly. It responded to the impact of multiple and interlocking crises facing the world, and is expected to reignite a sense of hope, optimism, and enthusiasm for the 2030 Agenda. And of course, yes, there are a whole series of crises, and that's deliberate. Look at the Ukraine war, the crazy amount of money that's being sent to the Ukraine to see Ukrainians killed and Russians become ostracized by the rest of the world, allegedly. That's the goal, and all to line the pockets of these same elite oligarchs. And from winepressnews.com, death of free speech. The EU signs law to police the entire internet and take down websites with unapproved speech. Unbeknownst to most people of the world, the internet has officially changed forever, and what people are allowed to say and publish is in great jeopardy. 1 month ago to this point, the European Union's invasive law called Digital Services Act, DSA, took effect, that essentially allows bureaucrats in the EU to become the arbiters of free speech and free thought online, legally restricting what platforms can and cannot say. Ursula von der Leyen, President of the EU, posted in a tweet, "We're bringing our European values into the digital world with strict rules on transparency and accountability. Our Digital Services Act aims to protect our children, societies, and democracies. As of today, very large online platforms must apply the new laws." What a load of rubbish that it's about protecting anybody apart from the elite. "From this point forward, it is going to become much more difficult to share alternative views on the internet. Going back to what the EU referenced as examples related to disinformation, citing comments that go contrary to the narrative, such as COVID-19 or Ukraine, Bill Gates had stated on December 24th in an interview with Al Jazeera that in preparation for the next pandemic, we have to moderate some of the insanity online that you know prevents people from helping themselves. Such a bill as the DSA will serve to accommodate Gates' ambitions." In other words, helping themselves. We don't know what's best for us. The government and Bill Gates and those type of people, the World Economic Forum, they know what's best for us. We don't, of course. This is highlighted because in less than 4 years since COVID-19 was released from the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China, creating the type of panic that devastated the US economy, caused food shortages, toilet paper shortages, forced tens of millions of pounds of food and milk to be destroyed because of lockdowns, we are now being primed for the next pandemic, as we've mentioned, with Disease X. And Kazakhstan partners with the UN to introduce digital family card, allows the government to monitor all household conditions and retroactively provide social benefits. Flying nearly under the radar, the nation of Kazakhstan, one of Russia's southern neighbours, has quietly rolled out a new social assistance program in collaboration with the United Nations Development Program called the Digital Family Card. While the government scheme was unveiled in 2022, it received next to no conversation in the media, but was briefly reintroduced again during the UN's Sustainable Development Goals Summit. The DFC is touted to help achieve Sustainable Development Goal number 10, reduced inequalities. According to Sukhrob, Deputy President, Representative for the United Nations Development Programme in Kazakhstan. As explained by the UN, the digital family card is as follows. The digital family card is unique in that it provides a single point of interaction between government agencies to support the population in areas such as education and social protection, finance, justice, and medical and social support, and so on. So what it is, of course, it will fall in with social credit scores, and it's all about control and being able to monitor everybody. That again comes from winepressnews.com, parts of that. So, yeah, it's not looking good all around. Also, folks, remember the lack of toilet paper during COVID-19 and different things, and even today you still see here in New Zealand anyway, in supermarkets, at times you can only buy four of such and such an item and so forth. And basically, it's in a sense, it's a type of rationing. And rationing could be used to lure the public into accepting universal basic income and central bank digital currencies. Government-run food centres can easily restrict purchases of goods to a limited list of items and also demand payment using specific methods like digital currencies. In a short period of time, cash would be removed because retailers pressured by government would refuse to accept it. That's Brandon Smith, a little bit from altmarket.com. And in fact, folks, we are seeing in many places cash not being accepted even now, and the push for more and more digital payment methods and so forth. And once they get us all digital and they implement social credit scores, then they can control, particularly with CBDCs, which will be programmable, they can control what you can and can't spend your money on, and if they'll even allow you to have whatever that digital currency is. This is never before happened in history to the level now that we're seeing all these things coming at the same time and control to be on a global level. And lastly, folks, as if lining up to get jabs in the arm for mRNA experimental gene therapy isn't bad enough, here's an article from the ExposeNews.com says EarVax, mRNA delivered straight into the lungs, no jab needed. Researchers have developed an airborne mRNA vaccine offering a vehicle by which to rapidly vaccinate the masses without their knowledge or consent. A team from Yale University has developed a new airborne method for delivering mRNA right to your lungs. The method has been used to vaccinate mice intranasally, opening the door for human testing in the near future. While scientists may celebrate this invention as a convenient method to vaccinate large populations, skeptics raise obvious concerns about the potential misuse of an airborne vaccine. Down further in the article, I'm skipping a whole lot. By releasing the vaccine in the air, there's no need to inject each person individually, which is not only time-consuming but difficult if an individual objects to the shot. This isn't the case with an airborne vaccine, which can be released into the air without consent or even the public's knowledge. A similar strategy is being used with mRNA and shrimp, which are too small and numerous to be injected individually. Instead, an oral nanovaccine was created to stop the spread of a virus. Man, and there's so much more in that article, but as if Bill Gates wouldn't be rubbing his hands together with glee, I am sure, over this. Folks, I guess it's all a little bit doom and gloomish, isn't it? But in the end, we have to just put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who will protect us. We can be protected putting our trust in him, and even if we don't survive this life, because no one gets out of it alive anyway, at some point, we do have, if our faith and trust is in him, we have a better place, a better life following this earthly life anyway. But meanwhile, while we're here, I believe we should be doing what we can to prepare and you know, look at the different options for preparation. I won't go too much into them here today, but I would say just if you can get into community with like-minded people and strategize together, that's probably a good way to start. Not always easy to find those type of people, but pray about it. Get your lives right with the Lord and pray that He will help you to find other people that you can get into community with that are like-minded and trustworthy. That's it. That's all I wanted to share in this video, really. It's a lot of information. I hope I haven't overwhelmed you all, but anyway, I thought it was important to get this out today. So God bless, and please remember to make sure you subscribe to our website, aminutetomidnight.com.